Okay.
Okay. Lovely. Thank you, Steve. You may now depart in peace. Great. So I want to apologize up front tonight. I am full of the cold. So I'll try and spare you any of the nasties, but so do just bear with me tonight if I'm not on par. But tonight we are continuing with our series, which has been going, as you well know, from the beginning of the year. We're almost, I suppose we're coming up to the halfway point, the end of next month. But we're continuing on, and we're looking at tonight, in terms of spiritual warfare. It might not be a topic that you might think, maybe at first thoughts, you might not think that it's got anything to do with spiritual warfare. But I think one of the things we're trying to get to grips with in this whole series is that pretty much everything in our day-to-day walk with the Lord is spiritual warfare. We are at war with the enemy, and therefore these things hopefully will become clear as we progress through this evening. So tonight we're looking at taming the tongue, how we overcome the enemy by taming the tongue. And if you know the book of James, you'll probably be able to spot where we've taken tonight's topic from. James chapter 3, talking about taming the tongue. Just 1 minute. Sorry, there's somebody else coming in, so I'll just pause for a second. We wait for Fiona. Okay, thank you. So Fiona has just arrived. So for the sake of Fiona, we're just looking at taming the tongue this evening. And let's pray that the Lord loosens our tongue and tames it in equal measure tonight as we discuss this topic. So let's just start this evening by committing the whole time to the Lord. Father, we thank you that you are quick to listen, slow to speak, and therefore slow to get angry. And your word tells us, Father, there is death and life is in within the power of the tongue. And your word tells us, Lord, how even a small flame can start a massive forest fire. And so therefore, Father, our tongues, being a small part of our body, Lord, can have great and dramatic consequences in our lives and in your kingdom. So, Father, will you teach us this evening the importance of taming our tongue? And Father, we appreciate it right from the beginning that we cannot do these things in our own strength. Lord, no one can tame. I can't tame my tongue. No one can tame their own tongue. But Lord, we come with full confidence in the power of your Spirit to enable us to do what you have commanded us to do. We have full confidence in your Spirit. And it's in that Spirit, Father, that we are asking you to speak to us this evening. Guide us and lead us, Lord. We may be shorter in number this evening, but Father, would you make up for it by your presence, by your Spirit just speaking to us and inspiring us through your word. And we trust you, Lord. We trust you to lead us and guide us and to lead us into all truth. So thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can gather. Thank you for each of my brothers and sisters here. Lord, would you bless us this evening as we seek the truth of your word. And Lord, may all the glory and all the praise and all the honor be to your holy name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So we are looking at taming the tongue this evening. And I'm just wondering how we should begin this evening. Perhaps we'll read James 3, or certainly the first 12 verses. And then we'll maybe open the floor to whoever feels they have something they want to share. So this is James chapter 3. I'll give you a second to look it up if you haven't got it in front of you. James chapter 3, and reading from the New American Standard Version.
All right, would it help you for somebody else to read if you're not feeling great?
That would be great if someone would like to do so.
I'm happy to read it from your NASB if you'd like.
Great, thanks. Thanks, Nigel.
Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh.
Wonderful. Thank you, Nigel. Praise the Lord. Well, there's the word of the Lord is spoken. Wonder if anybody would like to make some comments, either on this passage or anything else to do with the tongue. Floor is open.
With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
Rosalind.
All I would say is that I think the tongue is the root of all our issues, really. And that's why I've drawn the conclusion it's best just to say nothing and just leave it with the Lord, leave everything on this earth, all of our. Commit everything in our lives to him and just not really not try to resolve things. Because as Nigel just said, it's only the Lord really that can resolve things. So I've drawn the conclusion it's best to just keep our counsel about anything really and just commit it to him.
Thank you, Rosalind. I think certainly there are times when it's best to say nothing. And Jesus did that supremely on the day that he was crucified. He spoke very few words. In particular to Herod, I think he didn't speak to answer any of his questions. So I think there certainly are times that we should speak, shouldn't speak at all. But I think there are also times, I think for me, the great lesson is being slow to speak. You know, the Bible does, Jesus did say, didn't he, in the Gospels, that it's out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when the heart is filled with the wrong sort of things, so if the wrong emotions, anger or bitterness, or then probably, yes, it's best not to speak at all. But I think there are times when we're called to speak, and that's we should always be slow to speak. It gives us time to think, time to trust and to listen to what the Lord is saying, I suppose. I love there's a passage, I think it's in the Psalms, which said, I think it was David saying, crying out to the Lord, saying, asking him to be the guard of my lips, which I think is a lovely thing. He's stopping the wrong things coming out. He is the guard. That if we allow him to be that guard, then he will be that guard. But I suppose so often I'm so guilty of just spurting out some words and not allowing him to be that guard. Malcolm, sorry, you're waiting there very patiently. Thank you.
I was just going to say that every morning as part of my thanks for breakfast, I ask the Lord to anoint my mouth to keep it shut and say nothing except what he puts in there. And I'm quite good at stopping him from stopping me, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, thank you, Malcolm. Christiane, or perhaps it's Menno.
It's me. The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12, says, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what you should say." So we need to depend on the Holy Spirit to speak. And when we say that slow to speak, which means that think before you open your mouth to speak. So we're going based on the Holy, we're going based on the Word of God. God said that it's only Him who will allow you to speak through His Holy Spirit. Like when He was sending the apostles, and then He was saying that you will be my witness only when the power and the Holy Spirit come to you. So we depend on God to speak. We need to have our ears so open to hear when God speaks to us, instead of open our mouth just to please man. Yes. That is wrong. And also we don't give the good teaching as we start the beginning, that the teachers, we need to be very careful when we teach people. So I pray that is God send a teacher to teach us the truth, because if they don't teach us the truth, we're going to grow in the wrong doctrines. So we need to wait for the Holy Spirit to speak to us and then to teach others. That's all I want to share.
Thank you, Christian. That's really, really helpful and useful and good. Thank you. It says in, I believe, Proverbs, the death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I think we could probably all, I'm sure we could all look back at something that someone has said to us, perhaps maybe as a child. Something's just said in a moment of anger or whatever it may have been, and it cuts like a knife. I think the old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I'm not sure that's entirely true. And I know from my own experience and from trying to help others as well, that how words can have such a powerful effect for good and for evil, for life and for death. And so therefore, yes, we need to speak, but we need to speak words of life. And the Lord is greatly convicting me of this at the minute in terms of my children. You know, it's how precious they are and how easy just the wrong word said at the wrong time, off guard, can have a lasting effect. So it's something that's kind of front and center in my life at the minute, and something that I think as David Pawson used to say, he was telling the story of the pastor who stood at the front of the church and said, "I'm now about to show you the part of my body which causes me to sin the most." And there was a big gasp, I think, across the conversation. And he just stuck out his tongue like this, like that. And I think that's very true. You know, I think for me anyway, it's sometimes things that I'm saying, which I don't, are wrong, and I don't even realize sometimes. And I think that's when potentially it's at its most dangerous. You know, complaining about something can just kill, steal, and destroy. And we don't want to do the enemy's work for him. Any other comments? You're all being slow to speak. Good. Has anyone? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Menno.
Yeah, I just want to say that for a reason that God is giving us two ears and eyes and only one tongue. So, and there's a lot of power in the tongue, because I just want to go the other way a little bit with the words we're speaking. Jesus was always speaking a lot of miracles were by speaking the word. You are healed, you are this, so you did, but we can see proclaiming good things coming out of our mouth. And of course, what you were saying, that our mindset, our heart, it has something, but it's not good in our heart. How can you be quick to listen and slow to speak? It's not like you're gonna speak in slow motion. This is a little bit like, and quick to listen. How do you listening quick? You listen or you don't listen. So there's a little bit more meaning behind that, I think, than quick to listen, because sometimes we speak before we listening.
Yes.
And I think that's more it is. And God just wants to say, okay, James had in this case that we should listen, because sometimes we're praying a lot. We're praying like, pray, 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 pray. But did you listen to God? So, and we can pray a lot. And it's like we want to give everything to God, but sometimes we also need to take a break and listen what God has to say. Because then how can we respond to it? And sometimes it's even good to say nothing for 5 minutes when you start praying. Say nothing, just be in the presence of God. So that's why I said quick to listen, slow to speak. There's a meaning behind that. That's what I try to understand. And I said already, of course we can say something, because it's not like, oh, I say something wrong, I grab it back. It's not going to happen. So whatever you say, it needs to be something with a words of blessing. But it says also because we have the same tongue. We do blessing, but also we curse things. So, and of course, what we want to do is, of course, be a blessing to people. But for us also, we can put ourselves down by saying things or hurting people. But for me, it's just Jesus pronounced or proclaimed a lot of things with his word, with his speaking. You are healed, your faith has healed you. Or the centurion is okay, he didn't have to come, he just spoke the word and it was healed, his servant was healed. So, and that has also to do with faith. So if we want to proclaim things, if we want to believe what we are saying, proclaiming things. So yeah, there's always a deeper meaning of it. I always said, like, how can you be quick to listen, slow to speak? I mean, there's a meaning behind it, but I try to understand it. But yeah, that's what I want to contribute for now.
Thank you, Menno. Really important. Thank you. Fiona.
Good evening.
Evening.
Sorry, I'm moving about. I mean, we're going away tomorrow, so I'm got the video off. The thing I've experienced is, and recently, very recently, even this evening, is that when I'm not right, there's something in me that I either my peace isn't as deep as it is as it was, or my relationship with the Lord has cooled off a bit, then it's much harder to keep your tongue in check. And I think, you know, we go back to Ephesians 6 again about the armor and about being in Christ. Mm. And I think that it's so much easier to listen and then to speak, having contemplated what you've heard, when you yourself are in a place of stillness and you can hear better from the Lord. I think it's often when we have it in circumstances where things are getting too much for us, and it's almost like as a person we're being swamped, and either we can't cope with it or there's so much pressure and you're thinking, help, and you know, I need some support here, or I need this, or I need that, and my needs are not being met. And there can be an element of selfishness in that. But I do think too that taming the tongue has got a lot to do with maturity and, you know, how we can apply the scriptures to our lives, and for it to be a natural application, not just something that you read in scripture and then it goes out of your head, if that makes sense. And like you were saying last week, Barry, it's declaring God's word in the circumstance and bringing back to mind that you need to do this before you speak. Yeah. That's the other thing. Mm. And it's always having that in the forefront of your mind. Well, Father, what do you want to say? You know, how do you want me to respond to this? And it may be that you don't say anything. Mm. So that's my two pennyworth.
Thank you. Enjoy your trip.
Thank you very much.
Rosalind.
Absolutely, I agree, as Fiona was saying. But I think sometimes, and it's a learning curve, so we need the right scriptures to bring at the appropriate time. But if we don't have those always, we can be in the right place with the Lord. We can be doing what, you know, we can be dealing with things biblically, which is keeping our counsel, being gentle, being sensitive to, you know, to the other parties or party, and saying nothing. But that can go on for too long. And that's not a good idea, because then things build up, even though you're committing the things at the time to the Lord, and you think, you know, the sort of, you know, you're not allowing things to stay. Nevertheless, you can't take them from your memory. And so it gets to a point when you have confirmation. So this is an example of you know, something I've experienced, where I waited and didn't say anything for a very long while. And I just blessed the people who were saying things that, you know, weren't weren't right, and the person has actually admitted this too, so it's not me just saying that, it's fact. And then when I had confirmation from two sources, credible, you know, sort of reliable sources, that you should speak out, you shouldn't, you know, not say anything, you should speak out, and tried doing it, dealing, you know, so sort of one-to-one. I've tried all the things that way, but then the things build up to such a point, and when you're told you should speak out, sometimes then, because of all what's gone on, I think then we can kind of, particularly when we don't have the command of scripture that we should have to bring, you know, every scripture that at the appropriate time or that, you know, the right place, I think then things can go wrong, perhaps. So it's a learning curve. And I suppose it comes down, as you say, to maturity as well. And it's a combination of things. But that's why I think it's just best just to leave it to the Lord and just, you know, just don't get involved, because it's a snare. What happens then is that issues which weren't issues become issues, because, you know, if one party is saying things which are not true and you're not saying anything, and the way things work, you know, I've discovered as well, is kind of not everyone keeps it themselves. They sort of share it with, probably that's been, you know, very well maybe biblical, where they share it with other believers as well. And so, you know, this takes on a momentum of its own, and it just all goes pear-shaped anyway. I just feel that it's a snare, and it gets you tied into things which are just a total waste of time anyway, because they're flesh. And so it's much better if you don't get involved, if you don't say anything. Yes, people are going to misunderstand, but then that's, you know, that's fine. It's the Lord that needs to know where we stand, isn't it? So I think it's better just to say nothing.
Thank you, Rosalind. Yes, sometimes I think it's difficult, you know, to counsel others in that sense, because it's listening to the Spirit. And as was it Christiane mentioned that scripture from Luke 12:12, which talks about the Holy Spirit giving you the words at that time. So yes, I suppose if there are no words forthcoming, then perhaps we stay silent. But the Holy Spirit is a good guide, and I find, you know, there can be a build-up in our hearts over time of things. The Bible does tell us to forgive from our hearts, and oh, that can be so hard. But when we don't do that, I can speak from personal experience, that it does build up and build up and build up, and eventually it just pours out. And when it pours out, it's rarely encouraging or building up. It's usually the exact opposite. And so if we, this is in particular is one of the ways the enemy can get a foothold in our lives, and so that we blurt forth something which will just destroy, kill, or steal.
Yes. Yeah, that's not appropriate. But if we're speaking the truth, perhaps, you know, sort of even that's not appropriate in you know, sort of always. But certainly not sort of saying things which are just of ourselves. No, absolutely. That's never wrong.
Christiane.
Yeah, Jesus himself, he teach us when to speak and not to speak. On the day when they arrest him in the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 60, he says, "Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, 'Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?' But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer, because all the accusation was wrong. Jesus doesn't speak when he's wrong. He knows. So he answered only when the high priest said again, He said here in verse 8, 61, the last part. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the son of the blessed one?" "I am," said Jesus. So that is a lesson to all of us to follow the way Jesus answer or where he's not answering. Jesus is our example. We have to do what Jesus doing, because he said we will be his witnesses, all right? So being a witness is about him will speak for us. It's Jesus that you need to depend on Jesus. When you represent him, when you become his witness, people must see Jesus in you. You have to be like him. So when you speak, and we studied the book of James, the first verse talking about the tongue, talking about the teachers. Be careful what you teach. So Jesus himself, when they were asking questions, he didn't have to answer them to please them, because he knew that it was wrong what they were saying. So because if he answered, they will carry on with the lies. So he better stop. He didn't say anything. But when the truth came, knew that that is what I need to answer, he answered. And even though he answered the truth, they still didn't agree with it. But we need to learn when to speak. Sometimes we're wasting our time dealing, arguing with the people from the world. When you start arguing with the people from the world, it will be no end. So it's no point. You just shut them up and say, "God bless you. Thank you for talking to me, but you know, I prefer to stop now." But when you go home, you pray for that situation. That's the best way. But if we try to argue with the world, it's a wasting time. So because Jesus, he showed himself that he didn't want to argue, he didn't want to say anything. Whatever they said, that's fine. But if they say something which is true, I would say yes, and that's it. So that's what I want to share.
Thank you. Thank you, Christelle. Yes, I've sort of related to that slightly. I've got two things I'd like to say. The first thing is slightly related to it. The second thing is a bit more related to it. We've been reading through Mark's gospel as a family lately. And Mark chapter 5, talking about, you know, that the whole incident where Jesus goes across the Sea of Galilee, there's the stilling of the storm. They arrive at the other side, and Jesus is immediately confronted with that demoniac called Legion, if you remember the story. And if you just look, what struck us this time as we were going through it was that the word in Mark's gospel, in my version, which is the New American Standard version, the word entreated Jesus came at least three times by three different people. The demons entreated him. The people of that area entreated him. And then also the man who was set free entreated him to do something. And in the first two times, so the demons first, he did what they asked. They asked to go to be sent into the pigs, and Jesus gave them permission. Then the people came and they entreated Jesus to go away, and he did. But then the third time, when a man who'd been set free and who was now wanting to follow him entreated Jesus, "Please let me come with you," he said no. And I find that a fascinating little insight into how Jesus was willing to listen to the world and just do as they said, but when it came to his followers, he was saying, no, you need to, if you're going to follow me, you don't tell me what to do. He was much gentler in that respect than what I've just said it, but that's the kind of emphasis, is I'm telling you what to do. So that Jesus has a different approach between the world and his followers. And the second point I wanted to say was this, that in Mark 6, it tells us of Jesus going into the synagogue at Nazareth. And I find it amazing. I guess I just saw this maybe for the first time. Jesus, it says when he opened his mouth to teach, they were amazed. And I just thought, well, had Jesus not spent his entire life, most of it, the vast majority of it, in that same synagogue in Nazareth? And had he never spoken in that synagogue before? I find that amazing. The 30 years, or perhaps maybe Malcolm could tell me how long our boy is allowed to go to the Sabbath from 12 up, or is it before that? I don't know, to the synagogue. Don't know. He was there at least 18 years, I imagine, and he had never spoken or taught. And I find that incredible. So Jesus had spent those 18 years perhaps being reasonably silent in that synagogue, listening to others talk about God. And that must have been very humbling for him to wait and not speak until the right moment, which was, we know, in the last 3.5 years of his ministry. So there's a lesson. That was a lesson for me, that there's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent.
Well, a Jewish boy, he becomes a man and is able to speak bar mitzvah.
12, is that?
I can't remember if it's 12 or 13, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
That sort of age. Any other comments? Christiane?
Yeah, I'm studying the book of Luke, and I was reading Jesus also when before he was baptized by John the Baptist, he was using wisdom. He didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. So he didn't do too much. It was just healing people with wisdom. But when he been baptized, the dove came and the Holy Spirit came in him. And Jesus started, now we talk about Jesus was speaking with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't open his mouth like that. But before it was just wisdom. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. If you read the book of Luke, the beginning, it was wisdom. And after that, the Holy Spirit came, which is allow him now to speak. Allow him, the Father now, take over him to tell him what to do. Because Jesus, he was speaking, was doing things only after praying. When he was praying and he was coming back to the disciples and then he was saying things, that it was like taking the instruction from his Father and to do it, which was the Holy Spirit. Because we said that the book of Luke showed a lot of places where he was praying, going away. And even people were saying that, oh, why don't you stay here? He said, no, I have to go as well to a different town to proclaim the good news. Mm-hmm. You see, and then he was taking time, step out away from the crowd. He was always going to pray. And when he was coming, he was telling the people what his Father told him to say, because Jesus never did anything without the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need to do as well, that we cannot do anything without Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit. We have to be prompted by the Holy Spirit to do things, because sometimes the church today is like people going to outreach, people going to do this, But is it the Holy Spirit told them to do it? We need to be very careful to listen to the Holy Spirit and do things, speak. Because the, whatever you do, if the Holy Spirit is not there, is in vain. You don't see the fruits. So Jesus was dependent on his Father to speak, and we need to depend on Jesus to speak, the Holy Spirit.
Yep. Thank you, Christiane.
And I want to say something, add something. And when you speak with the Holy Spirit, you cannot go wrong. And even when you preach with the Holy Spirit, you cannot be tired. You just want to go on and on and on. But you can see some brothers and sisters, when they preach, if the Holy Spirit is not there after 10, 20 minutes, they don't know what to say. They're just turning around, making some jokes now to distract the crowd, but it's not right. But when you pray with the Holy Spirit, he said himself, when the hour comes, the Holy Spirit will speak on your behalf. So when he calls you to do something, he will equip you to speak so that people will be edified, people will be blessed. That's what I want to share.
Thank you, Christian. Thank you. Has anyone got any testimonies of the power of blessing, either being blessed themselves by somebody in a very powerful way that's had a big impact on your life, or perhaps you have blessed others deliberately and soberly and solemnly, but it's been an impartation of a blessing, and that you've seen the fruit of that? Anyone got any testimonies to that effect?
The only problem with that is that so often we don't know that we've actually blessed somebody.
Do you want to expand on that, Malcolm?
I think in terms of, as you were saying about, I can't remember exactly how you worded it, but about being careful about becoming teachers, there's such a difference between preachers who I would say have the anointing, but some would say that we all have the anointing. But what I mean is have an anointing specifically for teaching. So there are times when they have no knowledge at all, but they speak directly into a situation. And there's also the way they preach is always edifying and building compared with when that's not there and it's just dry and flat and the words don't kind of resonate. That's definitely a blessing when there is that anointing and when it speaks into a specific situation. That's such a blessing because then you know it can only be of God.
Rosalind. Christiane?
I've got this small testimony, and it's about us. We want to leave this place where we are for many, many years. But we don't know why we cannot go. We go even visit places where we know where to go. So we've been praying for that. But now I understand why God doesn't want us to go, because he has been sending so many people to me and Meno. People is going to depression, people are going to different difficulties. So we've been helping so many people where we are, especially so many Asian people, ladies, and you know, and I would say to God, one more now. What? And all of them now, they're okay. They're following the Lord. So what next? We want to go. We've been, because we live close to the train station, so we have so much noise, and we've been here nearly 18 years, and we want to go now somewhere quiet. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I understand that you don't want me to go there because there are so many people around me need you and all that. And I'm so blessed and thankful and grateful that you use me as your vessel. But I need peace. We need peace as well. And he sent me another person. Really, the last minute, he said, I said to the Lord, Lord, you're so funny. Now you send me again. I hope it's the last person. And believe me, that person, I cannot say the name because Malcolm will know, but it's somebody really going through depression completely, because when I saw that person after COVID, I went back to the church physically and I met that person. I was shocked. And I said to that person, what's wrong with you? What happened to you? And she burst, and then she explained. And I said to her, would you like to give me your telephone number? She said, I will see. And I said, okay, take your time. And then 2 weeks later, she came back and she said, okay, I'll give you my number. And since she's been coming here, because me, I'm working from home, Min and I. So the person be coming here, and then really need help. She's been really, really, I cannot go further. She's been damaged physically, mentally, spiritually. You can see it. But lately, God has been doing something good to that person. Really. Because the first time when she came here, she was shivering. And I said, are you okay? She said, I'm hungry. And I gave her some food. So every time when she comes here, I give her breakfast. She eat and we talk about God. She even scared to read the Bible. But lately she start open and reading the Bible. And believe me, the transformation that that person's going through is amazing how God can do. She's so grateful in herself. She can talk now, open up to people slowly, slowly. And she's doing great. I am so thankful. And I said to God, I hope it is the last person that now we can move. And I told her, I said, I cannot go far away because God sent you to us. And she said, I understand. I need help. And I said, but God will provide. But she's doing well. She's doing well. And I will have to meet. She's coming tomorrow again. So we meet. She's doing well. Yeah.
Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. He has you exactly where he wants you.
Yes, I believe. Yeah.
Amen. I wonder if a question is, I could ask a question in terms of your parents. Did your parents bless you publicly or privately? Nigel.
Yeah, I think this is a really crucial area about the power of the tongue. Because there's a lovely verse in Proverbs. Excuse me, I'll put it in the chat and other people can talk.
Malcolm?
I think in terms of one's parents blessing you, when you're young, you take it all for granted. That's your life. But I mean, your parents, they keep you, they clothe you, they feed you. And it's just what your life is at the time. It's very difficult to answer, did your parents bless you? Because as far as I can see, it's your whole life. It is, I suppose, in a form of blessing.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. I was thinking more in terms of publicly speaking a blessing over you. And the power that that is, because I've heard testimonies of people who've received that as being incredibly powerful. Their father has publicly, in front of many people, has publicly blessed, and it's been incredibly powerful for that person. So Menno this time, perhaps?
Yeah, this time. Publicly, I don't know, because I've been away from Holland for 20 years, so maybe like younger. And of course, depending on your growing up, of course, my father doesn't believe anything. My mother believes a little bit. So I've never been grown up as Christian. But a few years ago, I was prompted to call them and to thank them for everything they've done in my life. The other way around, because without them, I will not be here. So it could also be the other way around. And what you said already, I think I read somewhere that in the Jewish tradition, that the parents always speak a blessing over their children when they go out. Every time when they go to school, when they are left, because even when they go to the door and everything, but they always speak positive things over their children. All the time, the Jewish, not maybe every, but that's the tradition that they do. And that, of course, that's in them. That's normal for them to do it. Like, no, say, it's like normal to say hello, but they always speak blessings over their children. And of course, if you keep that as a junk from young onwards, generation on generation, and some people say, why? Because the Jews are how they live is, of course, we know the Old and the New Testament, but they were speaking positive things over their children. And of course, when you're not growing up with Christian parents, it's not a way. but in the Jewish tradition, because they've been speaking over them because they grow up with it. But for me, it was all the way around. I was trying to speak a blessing over them, over my parents to be. So I said already, when it's in the words that the tongue can bless and curse. Of course, we want to speak blessings over our family, and it can be. Doesn't have to be physically to talk to them, but also over prayer, speak positive things over them, about the blessing. That's probably what I want to say.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Menno. Thank you. Positive words. Why do we find it so hard times? At least to come from the Holy Spirit, that's why. Isn't that right, Christiane? Nigel, do you want to comment on the verse that you've said or put in the chat?
Yeah. I'll have a go. No, I don't think I can speak yet. Sorry.
No problem, Bullet. Take your time. Well, let me just read that verse that Nigel's put in the chat. So it's Proverbs 12:18, I think. It says, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Very powerful verse. I think I'm certainly convicting me of the times that I've spoken rashly with the thrust of a sword. You want to comment on that verse, or perhaps something else? Perhaps some other scriptures that you can think of relating to the tongue? Fiona?
I think the verse itself is actually, for me, it's quite a healing thing. But I find that when I speak rashly, yes, you can't undo what you said, but you can go to the person, if it's sort of someone who's close to you, and you can tell them you're sorry. And there can be a reason, an explanation for why you've done it. And you can ask them to forgive you for it. Mm. And in doing that, it can bring reconciliation and can bring healing as well. Mm. But it's often a case of bite your tongue or bite your lip and go in humility to that person and acknowledge your sin. And ask for forgiveness because you sinned against that person as well as against the Lord. Mm. So I do find that that can be healing as well. And it can help to build a bridge of understanding. It doesn't condone what you've done, but it can help a person understand you. And it can be that, well, what you did really irritated me because of this, this, and this. And it may be then that you're able to say something along the lines of, well, I refer to people you know really well, rather than someone who might take umbrage at you, but that you could say along the lines of, well, it would be really helpful to me if you were able to do this, this, and this. And should the situation occur again or something? Because I think sometimes people don't know how to respond and don't really, how can I put it? If you're in a situation, they find it difficult to cope with something and you are getting uptight because of what they're doing. Sometimes by helping them to adjust their behaviour, it can help the situation all round. Am I making any sense?
Yeah. To me, you are. Can't speak for anybody else, but for me, yes.
Well, that's good. You know, but I do find that that does help. It's also healing to yourself. Because if you receive that forgiveness, you can forgive yourself too and take that to the Lord and ask, and just lay it at his feet, and you know, the two of you work on it together, that it won't happen again. Or if it does happen again, that there might be, it would be in a different dimension, because as was already said earlier, it's a learning curve, and because we're not perfect, we're always going to have times where we say things in the wrong way at the wrong time with the wrong person. It's part of fallen human nature, I'm afraid. We're not God, but one day, you know, we shall be perfect and we will be able to build one another up in love, you know, in perpetuity, because we'll have all the means to do it, because we shall be like him when we see him. But at the moment, we are fallen and we can't do much about it from the point of view of being perfect. Does that make sense? And not doing it at some point. No matter, we might go along for years and then we put our foot in it again.
No, you haven't done that, have you, Fiona?
Well, you speak for yourself, but I certainly have. But you think going on quite nicely, thank you very much. And then that's when either the Lord puts you to the test or Satan says, can I test this person or tempt them? And, you know, it does happen because I think the Lord is peeling away our layers.
Mm.
And I think that he's trying to do things. He's doing a work of perfection in us.
Yeah.
And he's taking away things. And it's only when they come to the surface and we realize that what we've said or what we've done isn't in line with what he requires, then we come to him in repentance, in humility, and faith and trust that he will change us and he will forgive us. And we can forgive ourselves and we can move on and not be in a place of despair, but we can be in a place of hope that we are being transformed.
Mm. Amen. Thank you, Fiona.
Proverbs is full of wisdom on the tongue. Mm. There's another one here. Proverbs 15, verse 4 says, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but when it twists things, it breaks the spirit. I think that's the CJB. There's very interesting how different translations change Proverbs quite substantially. The Hebrew must be very poetic. It must be very poetic and very difficult to translate. But I like the CJB on this proverb. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but when it twists things, it breaks the spirit. It's talking about in our speech when we pervert the truth and how damaging that can be.
Yeah.
And how that really, you know, we're talking about in these sessions, we've been talking about overcoming the enemy. We play into the enemy's hands when we use twisted speech. Mm. But we overcome him when we speak soothingly and with truth. Mm. We don't allow the enemy to cause us to speak in a twisted way.
Mm.
Which is hard because old habits die hard.
Nigel, could you explain what you mean about in a twisted way? I thought I understood you, but now I'm not quite so sure.
Well, it's very interesting, this proverb. I mean, really, I don't know what this means, but you know, I looked at various three different translations. And, you know, I think that's for us all to wrestle with the Holy Spirit. One version says when it twists things. Another one says perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. And another one says perversion in it, in our speech, crushes the spirit. So, you know, I think we need to ask the Lord, is there in our own speech, is there somehow and do we ever twist the truth? Because, you know, do we damage people by our speech? And just allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction.
Very wise words, Nigel. Thank you. Malcolm, did you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I was just going to say that it brings to mind the I can't remember what the word is, but when you're a witness in a court, you have to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if you were to say anything else, then it would have been twisting.
Fiona's back. Fiona.
In the One New Man Bible, it talks about perverseness. So a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness is in it, is a breach in the spirit. And talks about the tree of life is a comparison with the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, a source of life. It's referred to in Proverbs 4:18 and 11:30 and also 13:12. But the perverseness is a deviation. You divert from it, don't you? In whatever way, twisting it will warp it or will change it in some way. And diverting or digressing or deviating is the same thing. You're going away from it in some way. And I think, as Nigel says, we have to tell the whole truth. But as Pilate said sometimes, what is truth? And we come back to Jesus again, don't we? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through or by him. And I think, you know, he is our life. He is our truth. He is our way. And again, it comes back to what would he do? What would he say? And I know myself that when I know someone is lying to me, something twists inside, you know, and I start to get angry. And that could be, you know, because it's the father of lies, and subsequently my spirit is responding because the Lord, there is no lying with the Lord. He is all truth. And there's an identification in the sense of lying. And maybe there's a discernment there that you know that someone is actually lying, even if sometimes you don't know that they're lying and it comes out later. There can be a witness in the spirit to the fact that somehow, in some way, this is being twisted, or this is not right, this is not the full truth. And what is it? And, you know, embellishment too. If you're wanting to flatter people. I've been reading in the Psalms I think it's 10, 9, 10 and 11 around there, it's sort of talking about the wicked use flattering lips and tongues, and subsequently people can deceive through flattery.
Yes.
And there's a superficiality about it too. And yet in their hearts, they are seeking to destroy, which is Satan's work. But, you know, we have to be on our guard all the time. And it's so helpful to have the Word of God and to read it. And, you know, the Holy Spirit does bring these things back to your mind as you're asking. And if you really are still inside, it's much easier to hear. So much easier to hear what the Lord is saying to us. I find it's when my thoughts and my feelings get in the way. It's like a torrent, like a boiling situation on the stove, as it were. In one sense, and also it's a bit like a swan, you know, they look so serene on the surface, but they're paddling like fury underneath. And are we? Are we really people who are calm on the outside as well as the inside?
It's lovely, Fiona, how you've described it, because I was just, the final proverb I was going to quote really describes the words that we get from Jesus. It's Proverbs 18:4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you said how, you know, those visual images that you come up with are just, you know, it's just really powerful images. And, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. So it's really, you know, we want to look to Jesus. And I just love that verse in Proverbs, which seems to describe, well, it describes all of us, that we, when we speak, we're revealing from our depth, the depth of our lives. But also the one who we want to emulate is the one who has the full depth, the one who doesn't speak, as Christiane was saying, the one who never spoke without speaking the words of his Father brought to him by the Holy Spirit when he was on earth. Our wonderful, precious Saviour, Jesus. But the words of his mouth were the deepest waters there have ever been.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord.
Yes, yes. Yeah. My rock and my redeemer. Yes.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Well, time is drawing to a close. Excuse me. I do want to allow us time to just pray together. And perhaps we can pray along these lines. We all need the Lord Jesus Christ. We all need the Spirit to guide us, and to help us, and to restrain us. And we've heard tonight a few proverbs, and there's many more we could have quoted. And there's quite a lot in the Psalms as well about the tongue. But the word does tell us that we should guard. We should guard our mouth and our tongue. And whoever does that guards his soul from troubles. And I think we can all say amen to that. So tonight, let's just, for the last 10 minutes or so, let's just have a time where we just talk to the Lord, listen. Perhaps it's a time of listening. Menno's reminded us earlier this evening of the need to listen in prayer. So don't feel that we need to fill the silence with words. Just be quick to listen. But I would encourage you, if the Lord prompts you to speak something or to share something, particularly if you haven't shared anything yet this evening, then be obedient, because we do want to hear it, because it's the Lord's prompting, then it's from him. So this is just a time of open prayer.
Barry, I need to go. Barry?
Sorry, Gwen.
Oh, sorry, I need to go, but did you get my message from Elizabeth?
Yes. Oh, thank you. Yes.
Okay. I did get it. All right. She asked me to let you know.
Thank you, Gwen.
That's yeah. Okay. Well, I hope you feel better quickly.
Thank you. God bless you.
And I'll see you next week. Sorry, I need to go.
No problem at all.
Bye-bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I would like to pray for Nigel, Brother Nigel and Barry for healing. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, I bring my brothers to you. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus for complete healing from this coughing and cold. Father, remember the word that you gave to your servants. Said about your stripes, we are healed. Barry and Nigel, they are healed according to the word of God. Lord, you send your word, they will all heal. Lord, I pray, Lord, just whatever the cause of this cold, Lord Jesus, you know. I pray that you take that from the root and heal them completely, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus, oh Lord. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is impossible to you, Father. You said, ask and you shall be given. And you said to yourself, oh Lord, your word, that whatever we desire in our prayer, believe that you receive it, until that it will be done for you. Lord, I'm asking you for complete and totally healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. And I pray that you bless them with a good health. And then, Lord, Father, I pray every medication they will take, Lord, I pray that you sanctify them all, oh Lord. Father, their body belong to you, so you know exactly what they need right now. Thank you for be their strength, oh Lord. And thank you for the blessing, bless them as they bless us, oh Lord, to lead this prayer, this Bible study and prayer time, Father. Thank you for their lives. Thank you, Father God, to give them the truth to share with us. I give you all the praise and the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know every word before we speak it. You know our hearts, you know our motivation. Father, you know why we respond in ways that we shouldn't. And you know, Lord, that with our the same tongue, we can praise you and give you glory and be edified and built up as a consequence. Father, we ask for your forgiveness when we speak words in rashness or when in pain or anger or whatever it is, and that you will cleanse us from this unrighteousness and iniquity and help us, Lord, in their place to speak wholeness and healing to people. Father, we are weak and we find it very difficult at times because we are selfish and we want what's best for us. But Father, we thank you that you have such grace and such love towards us, that you seek to change us. You have such compassion upon those you have made. And we thank you, Father, for your compassion. We thank you for your love. We ask, Lord, that you will help us, each one, to use our tongues in a way that will bless you as well as bless those around us. And that, Lord, you will root out the things that displease you, and you will help us to let go of things, to humble ourselves before you and allow you to change us and to mold us and to fill us. For Lord, it is only as you increase in us that we're able to withstand those slings and arrows of the enemy. Yes. And so, Father, we ask that you will increase and we will decrease. and that you will help us in that. We will not be condemned when we are speaking rashly, but then in giving them these things to you, we can accept your forgiveness and apply it to our lives and allow you to have full rule and reign.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you and bless you because you are slow to anger. You are abounding in loving kindness. You are merciful and you are good. And we thank you, Father, for who you are, that you do not treat us as our sins deserve. And we thank you, Lord, that you are working in us to perfect us and to bring you much glory and praise and honour. So, Lord, may we look up and may we truly give you praise and honour and glory in the name of your Son.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I couldn't say this before, but it doesn't fit in what we've been talking about so very well. But the last phrase in James 3:12 that we read earlier, and it says, neither does salt water produce fresh. And I just can't help thinking of the miracle of what's happening in Israel, where they are producing in desalination plants thousands of millions of gallons of fresh water from the Mediterranean Sea. It just struck me that from salt water they produce fresh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, I think we will draw the meeting to a close there. Thank you, everyone, for your contributions. And the word of the Lord tells us to guard our mouths and our tongues, because he who does so guards his soul from troubles. So may we go forth this week listening to his Spirit, speaking when he prompts us, and restraining ourselves when it's of the flesh. God bless you all, every one of you. The Lord willing, we'll see you back again next week. Same time.
Gary, thank you. And hope you're feeling better very soon. And for Nigel as well, yeah.
Nigel, yeah. I want to say something. Nigel and Barry, would you like to do the warm water with plenty of salt and gargling, and then it will kill the germ in your throat?
Thank you, Christiane, for the
tip. You really need to gargle it like that until you want even to throw, and it will help you. Believe me, it will stop that.
Thank you.
Warm water and plenty salts.
Thank you.
All right.
Bless you.
God bless you all.
God bless. Bye.
Very God bless. Thank you, Nigel.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless.
Thank you.